Welcome to Three Dads Over Coffee, where the conversations are irreverent, unscripted, quite possibly irrelevant, and always illuminating.
Hey guys, it's John here. On behalf of Jason and Scott, I wanted to thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate your support. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And don't forget, please keep those expectations low. Laptop.
It's my personal laptop, but it's got a really thin bezel on it. So it's got a, it's okay if it's the lighting is absolutely perfect.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought we were playing Minecraft for a second. Like, what the hell?
I've never played Minecraft.
Dude. Well, first of all, goddamn. What's going on with the chair? It looks like you're doing some like, I don't know. You've got the beanie version going with the tea, and then it's like Game of Thrones chair. Like, what's the look we're going for? I love it. This is sweet.
I've chosen to invite you into the throne room, not because like you have some privileged access, just to make you see how much power I have over you.
Oh, well, I'm just glad this throne room is not made out of porcelain.
Yeah. Yet. Look at everybody so early today. There's Scotty. Just give him a few minutes to get his microphone sorted out.
Oh.
that fucking profile picture, dude.
It's great, isn't it?
It is great. How's it going, gentlemen?
If you're making fun of me for that, I'm gonna go off on you, bitch.
Oh, Jesus, coming in hot.
Fuck yeah.
Apparently Scott's great, by the way.
Yeah.
Apparently I'm great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jay asked how we're doing. And you're like, I'm going to fucking go off on you.
I'm awesome. Yeah. It's all good, man. All good.
I got a question, like a legit question. Let's just jump right into it here. So I'm going to tell you this story. So Tanya's fucking pissed at me right now. And I'm gonna tell you what happened.
It's your fault.
Is this why you're in the car?
Yeah. So, what do you think about the idea of one parent not telling another parent every single thing their kids do? Okay, and I'll give you an example. So, about 6 months ago, Chloe, and I don't remember what time it was, but I think she had some friends over here, and around, it was like, I don't remember the time, it was like 4:30 or 5 that they were all still awake and they decided to walk to McDonald's. And I was out and I was like, where the fuck are they? Like, and so then they all came back. And I just said, look, dude, I don't care. Like, actually, if you want to go out at that time, that almost feels like morning to me. Like, It's like the borderline of morning, but regardless, I mean, they came back. And so in my mind, I was like, I said, look, just fucking, if you're going to do that again, just fucking text me, right? Like, tell me like before you're going, like, don't fucking just leave like that. So, and she was contrite about it. And then, you know, it hasn't happened again. In my mind, I was like, okay, so if I bring this, if I share this experience, it's going to be a fucking shit show. I know it. So I decided not to. And I actually don't really think I regret it at all, actually, because and because I also don't we share 99.9% of things that go on with the kids, and it's like, does it have to be absolute, you know? Because I was saying to her last night, if it was the other way around, I wouldn't give a shit. I don't expect you to fucking fill me in on every situation you handle with the kids. I mean,
or want to.
Yeah, like so anyways, I guess my question is, what do you guys think about that? Like, I mean, on one hand, I can understand why she's upset. I'm in the wrong. I can see how she thinks I'm in the wrong. On the other hand, I'm not actually sorry about it at all. Like,
yeah. I'm of two minds. So in this particular situation, I would tend to, it's not really siding, but I would probably have taken your approach. Mm-hmm. I think there's obviously a lesson there that that it's just like, yeah, leave me a note or shoot me a text or something so I know where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's not like they were sneaking out and trying to do anything nefarious. They were going out to grab some grub, and probably wasn't the safest thing to do because she didn't let you guys know where she was going. Mm-hmm. But it was a moment in time. It wasn't like, oh, well, don't tell your mother. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Or that I'm assuming that she didn't ask, oh, well, please don't tell Tanya.
No, no.
Yeah. And there's been times like that with Patty and the boys where they've done something and they were kind of, you know, joking, like, don't tell me. And it's like, fuck, man. Like, I don't want to know everything. Like, just live your life.
Yeah. So, that's kind of how I feel too.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's my initial thought, but what do you got, Scotty T?
I guess I just have a question. And that is why didn't you want to tell Tanya about that? I guess my point is that, is there something about that particular circumstance, or is it more about you trying to prove a point that you don't have to tell her everything?
No, it's, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole story because this is kind of a public podcast and I
sure.
But you brought
it up.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I guess what I would say is I didn't think the reaction she would have would be worth the, would be in my mind, like she's totally entitled to a reaction, obviously, but I mean, I didn't think it would be appropriate for the circumstance. Right. So I was like, I probably in my mind, I was like, I don't fucking feel like dealing with that at all right now. Right. Like yeah. That was probably, you know, it's done. It's over. I'm sure it's not going to happen again. I'm not sure, but I'm confident it's not going to happen again was my thinking, and just fucking let it go, man. Let's have a good day today and whatever, you know?
And I would suspect, Scott, you're asking in the context of if your motivation was, I want to hide it from Tanya, then that's a separate conversation rather than, well, I just didn't think that it was a big enough event to necessarily share with Tanya, then it's perhaps something, it's a different context in how you handle the situation. Yeah.
Right. It would be more just having the conversation that, look, I don't think we always need to talking about that. We don't always need to talk about every detail because we do a very good job about doing that overall. But occasionally I'm just not going to do it. Sometimes it might just be as simple as, you know, I'm just not interested in doing it every time. And we might disagree and you might bust my chops for it on occasion when you think I didn't share something that you would rather me share, and that's fine. But just talking about what you're talking about as opposed to the particular parenting issue, I guess that was what I was curious about.
Well, that's actually a really good point because I think part of what the issue was is she had an expectation that we talk about every single thing, right? Like,
yep.
And again, like literally almost every single thing we sure. talk about, like,
right.
But that actually caused me to say last night that maybe we need to have a different expectation. Like yeah. there, so I said, like, there will be times very, very infrequently, like once a year, where something happens that I just choose to handle on my own. There, that's that. Can that be the new expectation? Right. Like, I mean, and maybe that's on me for not, you know, for not being clear about that. But I mean, I think that's a very common thing. Like in a, you know, you got kids, all these shit happens. You don't, I don't know, not every, I just, I maybe, and this is just my own point of view. I just don't feel like both parents need to be involved in every fucking situation. Like, yeah. I don't want to be. You know, if there's a trend that is happening, you know, that's a different thing. Or if, even if it was to happen again, that would be a different thing. But like a one-off kind of thing like that. I mean, and now what I would say is it depends what you want to think of as a one-off, because every parent could look at every fucking kid and establish some kind of pattern of behavior You know what I mean? Like, they all do shit they're not supposed to do from time to time, right? And I tend to look at things like in a more in a way that events are more discreet. Like, not, I don't always want to make a trend about everything. You know what I mean? Like, this happened 6 months ago and now this happened today. Therefore, you know, there's this pattern. I'm not saying Tony does that, but I don't really think that way. So if I see a trend, that's one thing. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to mull my way through it.
Yeah. Two things come to mind for me. One is, and this applies to this situation, like with how we deal with our kids and what we share or in general, but it comes down to intention. You know, what is our intent? Are we trying to kind of hide something from our spouse or try to keep some, you know, maybe a less than stellar way that we've handled the situation under wraps because we're embarrassed about it? That's one thing. But then the other is we've got, you know, with your family, Jay, you've got, you know, four people and there are four stories that are kind of interwoven together. Scott, you know, you've got the three. And at some point they intersect and you're going to have moments with, you know, learning moments or others that you're going to experience. And you don't necessarily need to share every single one, especially the ones where lessons are learned. And I actually use the example of when I take my boys camping, we do a ton of shit that Patty would not want us to be doing or not want them to be doing. And it's not because it's overly bad. Like, it's them going in the canoe on their own.
Yeah.
And they're out maybe 100 feet and then they got a life jacket on. They know what they're doing. They know how to swim. And if, like, worst case, they capsize, well, okay, they're going to stay afloat and I'm going to have to swim out and I'm going to go get them. But I mean, they're not going to die. Like, they've got to, I let them set up the fire. There's a chance that, sure, their pants can catch on fire, whatever the fuck. And other stuff. So it's like, I let them both, you guys are like this. I let them both drive the car last time we were up in Algonquin, like, and they're 13 and 14. And Patty's like, you did what? And I'm like, yeah, man. Like, we were on it was like literally in the campground on a dirt road, which was snow covered at the time. Noah, the youngest, he had his foot hovering over the brake and I had my hand on the shifter to throw it into neutral. So the worst thing that was going to happen is that we were going to glide gracefully into a snowbank at a whopping 3 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
Will, on the other hand, I let him kind of navigate and he went to press on the brake and he pressed on the gas and he almost dumped it into a snowbank. But it's just like, fuck, man. Like, but I ended up sharing that experience, but I haven't shared every experience, you know, like that when I take them camping, because, you know, in a way, that's almost kind of what makes it memorable and special too. Not that I'm sure that you thought that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean, but I do think it's an interesting, actually, I think part of what can cause problems is that we don't know ourselves well enough or to be able to set realistic expectations. You know what I mean? So it actually felt pretty good for me last night to say, okay, I get it. So here's how it is. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this will happen again. Right.
Yep.
Again, I don't know when, but I mean, I'm sure at some point it'll fucking happen again. Right. And so that's an expectation. I'm probably just going to have to draw a line in the sand and say it could happen again.
You know, it's strangely liberating to realize that and just own it and say, look, I know that this is probably not the outcome that you wanted, but just to be real with yourself and them to say, yeah, it is an expectation setting where maybe you were not aware enough to be able to do that before.
Or maybe the expectation is really that you say, look, we do a really good job at communicating with each other. And if you ever discover that there is something that like this again, that you discover there's something that I didn't share with you, you have every right to ask me about it. Mm-hmm. You have a right to be curious about it and for us to have a conversation at that time. And, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm going to share everything with you just to make you feel better. But you have, you know, if you're curious about why I'm starting to hide something from you and I don't normally do that, then you have a right to be curious about that and ask me about it. I mean, I think that's a perfectly fine expectation. because it, yeah, I think I see what you're saying, and it's not that I'm just trying to take your side. I don't look at it that way. It's on balance. Is this something, am I really trying to get away with something? I don't know. I don't think so. It's just a momentary. Sometimes I'm going to keep this to myself. I don't feel like having a long conversation about it, or maybe it is like a special moment, like a father son kind of thing. I think there can be multiple reasons why you might. But if that starts to become a trend, you said staying away from trends, then that's different. But that is, but that would truly, I think, be different. That would be more deserving of why am I doing this? Why am I starting to withhold information? And they would obviously be, and women tend to be a lot more curious about things like that, I think, than men. And you should probably have an expectation there that you're going to get questions about it if you start to withhold. And you know that, of course. I think a lot of men don't. They just kind of bumble along and do shit and don't understand why their wives ask them a lot of questions.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, because I think part of what, like, so I signed my counselor this week, and I really think that, so I think we've talked about this before, but I'm super fucking controlling over myself, right? Like there, I know we've talked about that before, and it actually, that can actually be a result of trauma that people, I'm reading that book I was telling you about right now, but I mean, it can be a side effect or a consequence of dealing with trauma. I think people, when they feel out of control, like have felt, you know, either for maybe a significant moment in time or for a period of time, totally fucking out of control.
Yep.
Maybe that drives wanting to fucking control what you think you can control. But I think one of the things that actually is a side effect of that I kind of started thinking about this week was that I fucking hate feeling controlled by other people, man. Like big time fucking can't stand it. And I think sometimes what I might do is I might frame certain things as being controlled that maybe aren't even really being controlled, you know, like, so if it's like, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of an example here. I mean, anything, like it might be, I don't know, Tanya commenting on me drinking Diet Pop or smoking pot or whatever the thing is, like, and I feel like I don't want to, don't fucking control me. Don't try to control it. And I'm making it sound actually worse than it is. But I mean, it's interesting because what is the difference? I mean, where does the line go from like someone who's interested to someone who's controlling? I think it actually depends on the perspective of the person who's on the receiving end of it.
Yeah.
As much as anything else. Right. Yeah. So anyways, it was just something I've always been like kind of a rebel, I would say, like in some ways, like, you know, just marching to the beat of my own drummer to a certain extent, not like totally crazy, but I've always kind of been that way. But I've noticed since Cindy, I think I've strengthened my desire not to be fucking controlled by people. You know, like that's why I think part of why this COVID thing just fucking drives me so goddamn crazy, man. You know, I feel like,
oh yeah, hell yeah,
I'm a fucking rat in a cage, and it drives me fucking mental. So, I mean, I think that's probably part of what contributed to it too, was feeling like I can handle this situation and perfectly fine. And I don't feel like having somebody else's views imposed on me at this moment right now. And I'm not saying that's a healthy way to look at it at all. I just actually realized that this week is that I think that might be a pattern that plays out in my life. So that's something I'll be exploring over the next little while. But yeah, anyways.
You know, I am curious about your use of the word controlling. And maybe this gets into, you know, details that are not worth discussing. Mm-hmm. I think I understand what you're saying, but since this is a podcast where we talk about it, we're trying to be more clear. Well, I mean, what's the difference for you between being controlling and being intentional? And because I think we talk about a lot about, or at least I do, about the value of being intentional and wanting to purposefully create something, for example, versus, I mean, I get the response if somebody is nagging you saying, do you really need to have that diet pop? Do you really need to do that? I don't want fucking people giving me advice. Nobody likes to be told what to do, even if it's kind of politely put. Don't fucking tell me what to do. I hate that shit too. I don't like it. Right. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
So I get that. I get the resistance to that. But when you're saying you're controlling, I'm just wondering kind of where you think the line is, or is that even how you look at it?
Good question. I think what comes to mind is the difference is maybe the spirit behind it, right? Like, so controlling is, so intention is, maybe I'll describe my thought process and then maybe that'll help me understand why I think it's controlling. But like, so what I'll do, I tend to be, as you guys well know, a fucking kind of extreme personality. It's either everything is like that. And so I sometimes feel either in control or fucking totally out of control, even though I'm never totally out of control. but I feel there's times where I feel like I'm like, ah, fuck, I don't have my shit together. And so my default reaction to that is wanting to put some new container over myself. You know, like fucking, I got to do this. I haven't worked, I've been eating like shit for 3 days. I need to do fucking some kind of intermittent fasting fucking program for 6 months or whatever. Like, so I put all these, so I feel like the controlling part is about, like, I think it's the intention behind it. Like, I think if you are being intentional about something, it is recognizing that something is a benefit for you and wanting to be purposeful about incorporating that into your life. I think being controlling is like almost a fucking, panic is not the right word, but like a panic reaction or a fucking more base visceral reaction to the perception of being out of control. And it can come with a lot of, I think, emotional baggage around it. Like fucking, you know, shit, like shitty self-talk and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's kind of what comes to my mind. I don't know. What do you think, John?
Yeah, it's interesting. I do think that it has to do with intention. And I was wondering the same thing when you were talking about as far as like it being control, or is it really just you not wanting to be told what to do or questioned? Because I find the older I get, the less I want to be questioned around the things that I do. And it's not necessarily that I think that I'm right, because fuck, I'm the farthest thing from perfect. And ironically, the older I get, the more I embrace that. But it's interesting. I don't know. I don't feel the same extreme, I guess, that you do as far as, you know, from one side to the other. You know, okay, if I feel like I'm out of control, although I have taken extreme measures in the past, I feel like, okay, there's something I need to do to get the ship on the right path or on a better path. But yeah, I don't know, man.
So let me ask you a question. So you're doing one meal a day right now.
Yeah.
What caused you to want to do that?
Good question. Because I was fucking fed up with myself. I was just with a variety of things. I think I feel the epicenter was as a result of feeling highly restricted from COVID and everything else. And I'm not able to do the things that I would like to do. You know, just getting out, mountain biking, all that shit. And I was just feeling like shit mentally, like mental fog, not not mental health, although that's part of it, just as a consequence of COVID, and physically restricted. So I just like, you know, and I was kind of falling into not non-optimal habits. So I was like, okay, well, I need to now swing a little bit further, not massively, but I need to swing the other way. So I was like, fuck it. I'm doing OMAD. So one meal a day. So, and then I also knew that that was the antidote to how I was feeling because of what I had experienced before. So I implemented that. And the first day I felt fucking phenomenal. And then second day, even better. Third day, even better. So yeah. So to answer your question, I knew that that was going to help me feel better than how I was feeling.
Yeah. I don't know. I obviously don't have all the answers. I guess I don't think of myself as being too controlling, although I'm sure other people, my kids, would say otherwise. I think I'm always right. I mean, the forks go in the right fucking place in the silverware drawer, damn it. You know, but I mean, and then that of course can apply to anything. I have my way of doing things and that's what I'm comfortable with. And when people deviate from them, it makes me uncomfortable and I don't like that shit. You know, I'm sure it's a little different for me and not sharing my life with a significant other at the moment. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's good, Jason, that you, of course, you recognize this. And that way it won't run completely off the rails. You know, you pay attention to it and sometimes you have your way and, you know, just like John too, you know, but sometimes you get fed up with it and you end up kind of going in the opposite extreme. Mm-hmm. I do the same thing. I'm pissed at myself for not doing something and for letting it get out of control. And so I respond by going in the opposite direction. But I know that my way is that eventually I kind of come back to the middle. I'm like, all right, this extreme thing is just not sustainable. I recognize what I've done as being extreme. And then I come back to something that really does work practically and kind of helps me move in the direction that I want to move in anyway. And I used to kick my ass about why I did that. And now it's not that I'm done with it. But at least I accept that that's just kind of my process right now. And I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. I might go and just start like when my kids do shit, that's my thing. I get annoyed when they start watching too much television, which I could have clamped down on. You know, I could have put more structure in their day for, you know, the weeks leading up to it, but it just bugs the shit out of me. And then all of a sudden I just bring the hammer down and I say, you get 10 minutes of screen time a day. Right. And I do that. And I realize that's ridiculous. Right. And they're miserable. They're pissed at me and I don't feel really very good, but I kind of work that process for a while. I have to make myself almost get tired of trying to be the drill sergeant and trying to execute a law that's just totally unsustainable. And I come back to something that's more reasonable and they think I'm a complete nutcase and it isn't the best process, but it is, that's where I am.
We're all fucking nutcases as parents. So like Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just that's the place where I do the most exercise, the most control, which maybe is even worse, is doing it over other people, because I know that I hate that shit, man. If I were in the receiving end of that, I'd be like, fuck you. Don't do that to me. And just because they're kids doesn't mean that they don't have feelings and thoughts about their own freedom. They absolutely do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't give them enough respect in the moment of being the same as me, really.
So that's actually interesting because it's interesting the different areas where we try to, like how different people try to exert control in different areas, because I'm not like that at all. I've always had really good self-awareness. I think about, like, I never ever threaten a consequence that I'm not going to follow through on. And I fucking know what I'm not going to like follow through on. Like, and if it requires me managing something over time about what the kids are doing, I'm not fucking doing that, man. I'm not a, you know, like we were talking last night. So actually, interestingly, Chloe has been wanting a different set of rules, right? So, you know, she's 17 and a half almost now. And so we had a conversation about it last night. So we said, you gotta come to us. I'm not going to fucking carve out time out of my day to like initiate this conversation with you. Like it's, you want the change, fucking make the conversation happen. And it's been months and months and months, right? So anyways, last night she did. What we came to was, look, we decided to let her not have a curfew anymore, but we put some constraints in place, like your location tracking. First of all, you got to keep your shit up, school, work, and your responsibilities around the house. I mean, those things are fucking non-negotiable. And you know, you need to keep your location tracking on. You need to let us know what you're doing. And I said, it's not because I want to fucking track you on your location track. I have no interest in doing that. It's like, if some fucking shit happens, I need to know where to come and get you, you know, yeah. Like if you guys end up in a fucking, your car's in a ditch somewhere and you have no idea, you're in the fucking middle of nowhere and you don't know where you are. Right. Like, and then we got talking about, so she's, one of the things she's doing, fucking kids are so goddamn gross, man. And I remember being like this as a teenager. She'll fucking go up in her room and eat food and leave it up there for like 3 days. Or, yep. You know, and I'm like, and it's, I'll go in her room, I'm like, what the fuck, man? God. So I was like, so what we were saying is, Tiny had suggested, you know, maybe we tie her keeping her room clean or whatever, like keeping that. I'm like, I'm not fucking tying that to her curfew. Like, so, but I said, dude, I need you to commit to fucking taking the food out of your room at the end of every, like whatever, just at the end of every day. Can I count on you to do that? You got to look him in the eye. This is a good thing. By the way, this is a pro tip I learned in this leadership training I give, but when you ask people for a commitment to something, look them in the eye and say, can I count on you? And then get them to verbalize saying yes. And just fucking, like I've done this with my team, where I have literally had 20 people in a room and we had committed to do something. And I went around to every single fucking person and looked them in the eye and said, can I count on you? You know, and it's very fucking like getting them to verbalize their commitment makes them internalize it more. So I feel good that she's pretty good, man. I'm not saying it's going to, like, so I'm not saying she's going to be perfect, but she'll do significantly better. On the other hand, one thing that I accept as part of parenting teenagers is that you have to fucking nag them. Like, it's just
completely how it
is, man. Like, and I also realize that even when I am nagging them about things that are annoying, even in the moment, I'll be thinking, I'm going to fucking miss this when they're gone, man. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've seen, and, you know, just we've been in some of the same groups online too. Sometimes people talking about parenting in these kind of, as if with rose colored glasses, like you just have to keep encouraging them. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, bullshit. For teenagers in particular, I'm sorry. It is, you just have to keep saying, I have to limit sometimes the shit that they are allowed and not allowed to do. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Nope. I will absolutely over time increase their zone of freedom and responsibility. But yeah, with like food or like brushing your teeth or whatever. No, you have to do this. And I just like the socks, leaving the socks and the shoes just laying around all over the place. And both my kids do it. It would just drive me nuts. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Why can't they fucking get this? And I'm sure some people would preach to me about what system works. And I'm like, but it's kind of like you, Jason, I don't really give a shit because I'm not interested really in the right system. What I needed to come to a conclusion about is that's just the way it's going to be. Sometimes if it's bugging me, guess what, Scott? You can fucking pick them up and get them out of your way. no, it isn't necessarily that I'm removing an opportunity for them to learn how to do it, because you know what? They just don't give a shit about that. And I'm not interested. Life is not about learning how to pick up your socks off the floor, right? There's a lot more to it than that. So sometimes I just need to suck it up, just take care of it, and put the dishes in the dishwasher, even though I keep telling them to put the fucking dishes in the dishwasher, and just take care of it so that I don't have to worry about seeing it on the counter anymore. And over time, I do keep talking about it, but it just takes years. I'm absolutely convinced it is going to take them breaking something, losing something, being in a relationship with a significant other who feels a different way, and you are completely pussy whipped, and that's when you're going to figure it out. That's really when you're going to figure it out, is when you fuck something up or when there's a really important relationship at risk, and that's going to really make you do it. Until that happens, all of my preaching is really just kind of like introducing the topic over and over again. And
yeah,
we can navigate this parent-child relationship until you're out of my fucking house.
I totally agree with that. But there's one step beyond that. And it's actually something I wanted to ask you guys about. So I've got the internet access, you know, filtered for, you know, age relevant. Like, they're not really, I'm sure Will knows what porn is, but he hasn't really talked about it much. Certainly not that I expect he's going to come to me to talk about porn or sex or anything. Unless, but I'm sure he'll talk to me about it if I bring it up, but I have restrictions set up on our router that shuts the internet off so that, you know, when it's time for them to flake out and go to bed. And I've relaxed it with Will because he's 14 and he's doing well in school. And I want to kind of show him, and he's told me, it makes me feel good where you can see, that I'm responsible enough to make my own decisions. And yeah, you have the internet accessible to me until 11, but I am brushing my teeth and I'm in bed for 10:30. Cause that's what I feel is the right thing for me to do to be successful. So I think that's great. Now, Noah, on the other hand, this is where I want to see what you guys think. Cause he, fuck that guy. And we've talked about this before where there is seemingly no fucking currency. This kid is going to drive me fucking up the wall. Like, Jesus Christ. So first of all, just to get him to do basic shit, like pick up stuff in his room, all that stuff you guys were talking about, you could tell him like 8 times in 8 seconds and he'll not do the thing you're telling him to do. So he has this habit of going to bed, and I think I had relaxed the Wi-Fi or internet access for when they were both home for COVID because they weren't going to school first thing in the morning. So I could hear him, and he obviously doesn't give a shit because he's got his door wide open because he's still a little bit, you know, scared about being completely in the dark, and he's watching a fucking Netflix show or something on YouTube after he goes to bed. So he goes to bed at 9 o'clock. So I hear, Patty and I are downstairs, and I could hear something very audibly. No, Will has got his door closed. I don't even want to know what the fuck is going on there. Well, I know what's going on. So I call up as a friendly warning, Noah, put your phone away. And he's just like, you could tell he's like, motherfucker, how did he know? How did he find out? And I'm like, dude, are you serious? What are you wearing? You've got headphones.
You're not even really disappointed about the fact that he's watching. It's that he's so obtuse to, like, he has no fucking, you know, ability not to get caught. That's the disappointing part.
Yeah. So I'm like, Noah, put your phone away. If you do it again tonight or, you know, in the future, the phone's gone. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. 4 fucking seconds later, I hear the same show again. So I walk upstairs, I turn on the light, and I look at him, and he's looking at me like, what? And I'm like, dude, what were you doing? And he's just like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, man, like, Like, I just literally 120 seconds ago, we just had this conversation. There's no gap for you to kind of, oh, what did you say? What was going to happen if I did it again? And he's just like, and I just said, you basically just said, whatever. I don't care at all about what you're telling me to do or not to do. I'm just going to do what I want to do anyways. So, like, I honestly, in the moment, I didn't know what to do. I was like, sure. And so the one thing I do know, because he's volunteered this recently, is he's told both Patty and I, our statement of us being disappointed has a lot of weight behind it. And I said, I can't tell you right now how disappointed I am. The fact that you just completely ignored what I did. I mean, you knew the rule anyways. I reminded you and then you just did it anyways. So I said that's what you, and ironically it was the day after his birthday. So that's the thanks that your mother and I get for, even getting you a phone to enjoy. And then we hear when we're in the car yesterday, I had my phone taken away at school. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, hold on. Did you take the phone away from him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I took the phone away. So then,
For how long?
So he's allowed to take it to school only for if he needs to call home or whatever.
Okay.
So it was gone for that night. So he had it to go to school the next day. And then, so that was Thursday night. And then we're in the car taking him to my sister-in-law's last night. And he said, yeah, I had my phone taken away at lunch. And I look over at Patty in the car. I'm like, why? And he's like, oh, well, we were watching a show at lunchtime and I was bored. I didn't like it. So
Dad, that you were telling me not to watch the other night.
What the actually, it was Scooby-Doo. So I'm like, so did you know you're not allowed to use your phone at lunchtime? And without skipping a beat. Oh, yeah. I know. I knew. And I'm just like, what the fuck? So I said to Patty, I'm like, we need to figure this shit out because it's not the fact that he's using his phone when he's not supposed to. It's just that he knows the guidelines and they're there for a reason. And I don't feel that the right reaction is for me to now ratchet back internet access. So I force him to do what I want him to do because he has no other option. I want him to make the decision so that he can start to exercise that out in the real world. So I'm curious to hear what you guys, how you guys might handle that.
Wow. That would be fuck. That would be hard, man. Like, yeah, I've been really lucky that the kids are like, whenever there's an issue that comes up, it usually, I don't want to say it gets resolved the first time, but I usually feel like there's a satisfactory outcome. Doesn't mean it's never going to happen again at some point in the future, some different version, sure. But man, and I'm sure you're doing this. What I'm always curious about is understanding their thought process. Like, so I was somewhere last year. Oh, I was in Austin, Texas, facilitating an event. I'm in the airport and Tanya texts me on the way home and texts me that one of the kids had lied about something. And I don't even remember what it was now, but it was kind of significant. And I was like, oh, fuck, God damn it. And I fucking stewed on it all. Like, so now I've got to fucking fly home from Austin to the Toronto airport. Then I got to fucking drive home from the Toronto airport. And this is a fucking, not all I'm thinking about, but like, and I was like, what do I want here? Like, that's what I kept telling myself. And what I wanted was to understand. So what I kept saying to myself was, how can I use this as an opportunity to learn more and create some connection here, because there's something going on that. And so I came home and that's really the approach I took was, look, I love you. I care about you. And I want to know you, and so help me understand, what is your thought process here? So you're faced with, you get to this point, you're faced with this thing you know, you have a choice about how to handle it. What was it that caused you to choose this particular path? Mm-hmm. And what actually ended up happening in this particular case is you just start bawling, you know, and she's like, oh, I feel like a fucking, you know, bad person and blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so you're not a bad person. Like, so there's two things I want you to understand. I want to talk to you about this, like about how you're feeling about it. And that also doesn't change the fact that you did something wrong here. Like, so, you know, we can talk about how you're feeling, but don't think it's going to be a diversion, right? Sure. Like we're going to come back to this. Like, yeah. but anyways, we ended up talking for like 2 hours and that was a great conversation. So I don't know. That's not really an answer, but I just tried to think of it as how can I use this as an opportunity for me to connect with this kid? Because I think sometimes that's what they need more than anything else. And it hasn't really happened since. I mean, I'm sure I shouldn't say that. I mean, she's fucking 17, man. I'm sure she's done shit that she hasn't told me about, obviously. But yeah. I mean, but I mean, like a blatant outright lie like that. She's a truthful kid and keeps us up to date with what's going on and just not perfect. So that's how I handle it. I don't know if that in any way applies to your situation, but my initial reaction was like, fuck, that's it. I'm dropping the fucking hammer, man. But then I started thinking about, what does that even mean, dropping the hammer? And what impact would that have on me?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and our relationship as a whole, because going back to, you know, it's kind of the same thing, Scott, with what you were saying about the shoes. It's like everything you do is a fucking either deposit or withdrawal from the emotional bank account. Mm-hmm. So if you're constantly fucking harping on the kids about the shit they're doing wrong, they're not, it's going to impact them wanting to fucking come to you when they're dealing with shit that matters, like that actually matters. So anyway, sorry, John, that was a long winded answer, but I mean, that's how I would handle. But honestly, dude, I literally have not really experienced that level of, I don't know if it's defiance. I don't know what it is, but I don't think I'd do well in that situation. Cause I've had a situation one time where Chloe basically fucking told me I was upset with her. This is a couple of years ago, or maybe last year. I told her to do something which I don't normally do, and she fucking refused.
Oh man,
and she ended up doing it, but I fucking lost my shit, man. Like, and I never do that. Like, I can think of as a parent, me actually losing my shit has happened like 3 times, maybe in like 17 years. But this one, I was like, and I think it was because I didn't know what to fucking do.
Yeah.
Right. That was probably what drove it the most. I'm like, and as soon as I started escalating it, I knew I was making a fucking mistake. Cause where do you go from there?
Yeah. Right?
You've just painted yourself into this corner where the only thing you can do is fucking keep escalating it to try to save face. It's just a shit show, man. So yeah, I feel for you, brother.
Yeah.
I will share this, and I will try not to get preachy about it. This is my opinion. Maybe you could call it, at this point, it is a belief. It is a conclusion that I have reached about this. But I think it's pretty well supported, and maybe it's a bit cliche at this point. But with regard to your example with the phones and the screens, I mean, I've had the same experience with my 12-year-old. And I just think it's flat out addictive behavior. I do think that looking at screens and, you know, computers and watching television shows or whatever kids are doing on there is different than other things like picking up shoes. I don't personally think that when I tell Lindsay to put her phone down and I come back 5 minutes later and she hasn't done it, or she hasn't done something else that I've asked her to do. Yeah, she has a role in that, but I just think her brain is hijacked. There is no rational explanation for why she's essentially refused to do what she's doing, what she hasn't done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like she can look me right in the face. I could do the same strategy you've talked about, Jason. Look me in the face and tell me that you're going to commit to doing this or saying it in maybe a more productive way. She'll absolutely tell me, and 5 seconds later, her brain is right back to doing whatever she was doing. Whatever agreement we had has gone. It has evaporated. That has been my observation for at least early teens, you know, for younger kids. I'd say my 15-year-old is different. He can turn it off. He's learned how to regulate that. But my 12-year-old has not figured that out. I don't know if that's an age thing or a boy-girl thing or maybe just an individual thing. But I do think that that is just the kind of thing that I just have to flat out fucking take it away. I don't know any other. I wish there were a way to kind of parent and get kids who are younger to learn how to regulate that. I just think the way I look at it, honestly, I try to think about it from a different point of view if I were in a situation like that. And I think it's like, think about the hottest woman you could imagine walking around your fucking house with no clothes on and her telling you, don't look at my body. It's not fucking possible for me to not look at her body. I mean, I could do it for 30 seconds or a couple of minutes, but eventually I'm going to look. I kind of can't control. I can control that, but that's really hard. It'd be unfair in a way for someone to expect me to not look. And I think that's kind of like the way it is with kids and screens. It's just, it's brain function being hijacked. That's been my observation from watching my kids. It's literally observing them doing this on the phone, and I'm asking them to do something and they go right back to the phone. And then I ask them to do it again and they go right. It's just like, this is not my child in this moment. This is not the kid that I normally know. I'm not getting through to them in a competition between dad, who they love very much, and this show. Fuck it. It's the show, man. I'm watching the show. That's a losing battle. I can't compete with that. I have to take the show completely out of the mix. Yeah. I don't know what the answer is for doing that, but I just think that screens are a very different animal. And I think it is the kind of thing that I understand why people take their kids' phones away and they come down hard on it. Some kids are not addicted to it and just kind of take it and leave it whenever they want. I think there are some individual differences. I've got the same thing and I really need to double down. I used to be very hardcore about it and I've let it, man. I just another one of the things that over the last year, like my kids are still at home and still doing virtual learning. And it's just like, I'd love to be able to present more things for them to move to that are better.
Yeah.
And they're more productive, but I'd have to be a tour guide fucking for 6 hours a day, every day. There's so much time to fill. So I've relaxed on my screen allowance and it's just crept and it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger because I'm like, fuck, I don't want to be a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think there's like an addiction, you know, component to it. Like there's no question about that. I want to, and maybe this is impossible. Maybe it's something that I wish that I could make happen or that is possible. That's just simply not, but I want to take an opportunity like this with Noah to teach him something, to help him understand, okay, you need to self-regulate. And maybe to your point, Scott, maybe in this case, it could be just an individual thing or an age thing where his older brother can do that. And Noah can't, or just has zero desire. I actually think it's the latter. But I don't want to, I almost want the heavy-handed approach or the policing, like I could just stop the internet connection, right when he's supposed to go to bed. I want that to be the last possible thing that I need to do. And I've even taken it, like they both got braces. And I said, look, it costs us thousands of dollars to get you guys braces. So you have to brush your fucking teeth. And I know when they brush and when they haven't. And I just said, look, you guys get allowance. So every time you don't brush your teeth, so you got to do it at least twice a day in the morning and at night, you're going to lose 25% in one shot of your allowance for that week. So I'm trying to even get creative around that. I don't know. It's tough.
I would frame a couple of things. I would frame that the other way around. to say, here's the things you can do to contribute to getting your full allowance rather than losing it. Yeah. But I'm curious about why you, so in this case, like, I feel, if, you know, just based on what you described, I think like a fucking hard reset might be required here. And so I'm curious, like taking the phone away for, you know, a somewhat extended period of time, but I'm curious why you actually gave it to him after something like that, like gave it to him literally the next day, because you don't need it to go to school. I mean, but it's interesting to me that you said that, because if you need to call home, you can just fucking walk your ass to the office and use the phone. Like, so why did you give it to him the next day?
Yeah, I think good question. I think part of it, Jay, goes back in part to what you said before, where two things actually you said. One is that if I'm going to throw down a consequence, I want to make sure that I'm going to follow through on it. And I had no idea in that moment. I was so fucking, not enraged, but I was so pissed and disappointed in that moment. Mm-hmm. I knew the only thing that I was allowed to share with him that was constructive for me and wouldn't make and for him for that matter, and wouldn't make it worse, is to tell him how disappointed I was. Hmm. Beyond that, I had no idea. Like, I came down and Patty's like, she's like, what the hell happened? And I'm like, and I explained it to her. She's like, she kind of looked at me like, fuck, like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. So I think, you know, the most honest answer is that it was laziness to not just keep it. Which, you know, invariably is going to contribute to the likelihood of it happening again. But before he left yesterday, to go to his cousin's for the weekend, I did say that, you know, you and your mother and I, we got to sit down and figure this out. And I didn't want to have it as like, well, I want you to be like ruminating about it over the whole weekend. I'm not looking to ruin the kid's weekend with his cousin. But at the same time, I wanted him to know that this whole situation is not over. But I don't even know what the fuck that means. Like, I don't know what the consequence or what the end result's going to be.
Yeah. So one interesting thing I've learned, and I've learned this from Tanya for sure. So actually, I'll back up and say, taking the phone away, to me, I'd be interested to know why you won't think you'd follow through with that. Like, just fucking lock it in because we've done this with the kids a couple of times. For me, that's easy to follow through with, because I don't have to manage it. There's nothing that requires day-to-day management. You just fucking hide the phone until this date. Like, that's easy.
And I could do that. I just wasn't sure if, like, in the moment, because I wasn't thinking clearly. Was necessarily the right approach.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
So one thing that Tanya has taught me, and I've seen this play out, is that, and I remember reading this actually. So this was about Meg Meeker, you know, the strong father, strong daughters, and she was talking about this in the context of dads and their daughters. But one of the things she said was that kids, a strong father, who sets boundaries for their kids, makes the daughter feel cared about. And if they don't have them, they'll fucking pretend they'll resist them and all that kind of stuff and not like them, but it actually makes them feel cared about. And the alternative is that they don't feel cared about. And I've seen this play out where I think the imposition of some kind of boundary on a kid, it's going to go, it's going to be a fucking shit show. And they actually respond really positively to it. They initially resist it, initially resist it. But when it makes them feel in control or something, I don't know if it's in control, but it makes them feel safe in some way to understand clearly the guidelines that are in place and that are being enforced. Or even if it's like one of the kids struggling in school, about something, and I wouldn't do this. This is a fucking just not a strength of mine. But Tanya has come in and just imposed all kinds of fucking structure on them. You know, this is you're fucking up at 8:20. You're gonna fucking you're not doing it. You're not doing homework in your room. You're sitting in the fucking blah blah blah. And they do resist it, but they fucking flourish under it. You know, and mm-hmm. I think there's always a fine line. You can always fucking take it too far, and that's the fucking job of a parent, is trying to figure that out in every situation, I guess. And we get it wrong all the time. But so my point is that, you know, maybe he might be floundering in a lack of, I don't mean lack like none, but I mean like, you know, a somewhat of a lack of structure around this thing.
Yeah, he needs more.
Yeah, like, so that's been my experience, and it's kind of counterintuitive, because you think they would just fucking hate every second of having some more structure imposed on them. So
yeah, and I could see that. I could see definitely how that would help. It's going to be, to your point again earlier, it's going to be way more heavy lifting on mine and Patty's behalf to say, yeah, okay, well, so it's not just the phone. It's okay. It's not just TV. It's, you know, and PlayStation. It's, you got to fucking all of it. And then he's going to, and then that becomes like, we're now his social outlet. So we want to like even sit down and have a conversation. He's like, so tell you about something that is completely irrelevant that happened to, you know, a buddy of mine at school. I'm like, dude, like, I'm trying to have a conversation with your mother. And because now you don't have the option to, you know, go on the PlayStation or whatever, I'm not your sloppy seconds for, you know, time to kind of decompress. And although I'm happy to have a conversation with you, now is not necessarily the time. So it's going to be compromise all the way around.
Maybe the PlayStation is a sloppy second, actually, and not having it is just him coming home to his first choice that he doesn't know about.
It could be. Yeah, could be.
Yeah, and I agree with most of what you guys said. But yeah, it isn't. It certainly isn't easy. I don't like to take my phones away from my kids either. And in some ways I look at it as kind of a nuclear option, just because these days when they're just not able to get together with their friends in person still, I'm like, that is their lifeline to be able to communicate with their friends. And if that's gone, then they can't, then they're totally shut off.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what they need to feel. Is it really going to harm them if I did that for a week? I don't know. I hope not. But at the same time, that's something that they just need to experience, it to know that I give a shit, to know that I mean business, to know that all that, all the threatening in the world, all the speeches don't matter fucking for shit if I don't deliver. You're absolutely right. It is structure. It is. And you know what? After a little while, they get into doing puzzles. They find other shit to do. If they are busybodies, they will find other things to do. They will not just sit there and stare at the wall. And they've kind of almost forgotten about the fact that they don't have their phone anymore.
Well, you're raising a really good point. You're raising a really good point, because I think part of where, as parents, we get ourselves all fucked up is the bullshit stories we tell ourselves about the outcome of the consequences we fucking impose. Like, and kids are way more resilient. So I'll give you an example. So about a year and a half ago, Chloe was working at McDonald's. And so we had said, you have a job now. You need to, you know, you're in grade, she was in grade 10, I think. So we paid for her. I don't remember actually how it all went down. But anyways, you know, she had a job at McDonald's. It was at the end of a year and a half ago, so she's in grade 10. So now that you have a job, you need to contribute something to your fucking phone here. Like, you know, like, this is a first sort of thing. So she was like, okay with that. Then she quits her job. Okay. She didn't tell me. She just quits her job. And she told me after the fact. And now she can't pay for her phone. And I agonized about fucking canceling her phone plan. I tortured myself about it, man.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, fuck, you know, what is this? Like, and I followed. I fucking wanted to waffle. It was actually Tanya who fucking made me stay strong. I probably would have fucking caved in, because of all the shit I told myself about what a phone means to a fucking modern teenager. Oh, they need it to fucking communicate with people. So anyways, we cancel it. She didn't give a fuck, man. Most places have Wi-Fi. She'd go over to a friend's house and be on fucking Wi-Fi. Like, you know, yeah, there was times where, you know, she didn't have any fucking cell coverage, but she just, it literally didn't affect her life in basically in any way. You know, like, and she
affected yours way more.
Yeah. And she just got her phone back. Like, she didn't have any data for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she got a job and she got her first paycheck, I took her and got her phone, you know, got her a phone plan again. And the deal was, you get no strikes here. If you don't, because she had also, you know, been late or forgotten to pay me a couple times. So I had already told her, like, your two strikes are over. So I said, those are carrying forward, those two strikes, by the way. So, like, you know, if you miss a fucking payment, I'm canceling your goddamn phone, and you can get one when you're 18. Right. So, she's been great about it. She's been, you know, totally proactive about it so far. But anyways, my point in saying that whole thing is I just made up this fucking bullshit story. I tortured myself for weeks about this, man, you know?
Well, it is. Well, I mean, that's part of the difficulty. I think that's the part. Sometimes I think we say, oh, you just cancel it. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. I mean, let's talk about the processes and some of the internal shit that you might encounter when you're contemplating making this decision. You know, you're not going to feel great about it. You might want to back away. You might want to, you know, and at some level, it's not just about the end game, because that is super important to keep in. What's the end game? What am I really trying to get out of this? Is it because I'm really just trying to be a hard ass on a day-to-day basis with my kids? Fuck no. Yep. It's that I want them to be responsible, and I want them to be able to navigate the world, et cetera, et cetera. But at some basic level, I just don't want my kids to fucking hate me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd right. Be nice.
I want to get along. I want to have a good experience with my kids.
Yeah.
In the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening. And this is going to kind of fuck that for a little bit, but I need to be willing to take that. That is part of the deal. It is not an easy transaction to make, but the payoff comes later. You have to delay kind of gratification, knowing that you did a good job being a father, but right now that ain't going to feel good.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like, for me, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that my situation is harder, but I don't have, there's no good cop, bad cop, man. I gotta be both. And, you know, usually I find myself just being, I kind of joke about it, but I'm like, all right, sorry. You know, you had nice guy dad for a while and now it's fucking drill sergeant. You got drill sergeant dad now because you fucked it up. And now I'm lowering the hammer. And that's it.
You know? I'm doing it because I care. And what I'll also
say that I should include that because I'm usually pissed at that point.
What I'll sometimes say too is, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't really know what the best fucking thing to do right now is.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm doing. If you have a better idea, like, honestly, if you have a better idea about how I can, you know, get the result that's important to me, like this thing gets, you know, that this thing changes, I'm all ears, man. I'm all ears. Play a role, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Them coming up with kind of helping to design their own punishment, as long as I'm would be on board with it, or really a better path moving forward, which is like, Dad, I agree. Let's not have screens after this time or before this time. I think they'd be absolutely far more likely to follow through on it if they were involved in designing it. But they usually just kind of are like, what? I don't know.
Yeah. Noah's like, no, definitely more screens will fix the problem.
The problem is we got to double down. That's what we need to do here.
Yeah, exactly.
My shower, this wall right here on my shower could really use a flat screen.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, man. I guess we'll get to hear next week what you did.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. come tomorrow. We'll be implementing something.
All right, bitches. Great chat.
All right, boys.
Later.
Okay, see ya.
And there you have it. You might be feeling a little bit dumber as a result of having spent the last hour with us, and quite frankly, you might be right. Until next time.